This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, motherfuckers? I'm Kevin Metal.
I'm the Chef Tony.
And I'm Tristan Gregson. Tonight on Heavy Meta, we might talk about some magic. You know, obviously now that Pokemon Go has hit Canada, the entire globe has really woken up to this phenomenon. But other things are also going on. We have a special guest on the show tonight. Someone that may or may not actually know what a Pokemon is, probably because I believe he has children at his home, but we never know. Someone that, in terms of the Heavy Meta audience, I probably best known as a sandwich, although he himself is not a sandwich. We are honored to have Mr. Matt Meeling, known for The Meeling. Please reintroduce yourself to the show, and for those of us that are uninitiated, other than the guy that required Tony to make the double or triple face-to-face sandwich, what do you do?
Hey, guys, what's up? I apparently eat a lot, so whenever I went to face, I'd be, Tony, can you man-size that for me? Cause it's not enough food. And one day I came in and it was three sandwiches in one. I was like, here you go, shut up, you're full now, fucker. Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. And I can't wait to actually finally make it up there at some point so I can try one. I'm excited about this. I've heard so, and like Tristan said, I've heard so much about you, but more I think about the sandwich than you. But you're a staple in the fucking Heavy Meta community, whether it's because of the food version of you or the real version of you.
Well, thanks, guys. Well, I'm glad to be on the show. I meant to do it I think a month or so ago, but we put my house up for sale and things got crazy with people coming in and out and all that jazz. So, yeah.
Hell yeah, it's good to have you, man. We're gonna fucking, we talk about magic from time to time still, don't we, guys? we might even get into some of that.
I missed the, like, post-pre-release show. I don't even know if you guys talked about it, slash did you do the usual and get your packs from Just Imagine and go to your basement?
No, I didn't fucking get to. I had a shit going on. I did fucking do some booze cubing though in honor of the set release or the pre-release. So I just booze cubed instead. Because I didn't have a chance to go, which kind of bums me out because every time fucking set release or pre-releases come up now, I want to do that, but like it ended up being like this, it was, I forgot what was going on, but I wasn't able to do anything for Saturday. So I just played fucking Friday night. And so, you know, of course, I'm sure they're not, you know, happy with the idea that I like to go down there and be like, oh, can I just buy pre-release kits and not play them at your store and fucking leave? But to show up like the day before the pre-release and be like, hey, can I buy some of those pre-release kits that you may or may not need for the pre-release, and then take them to my house? I don't think they'd go for it. So I just fucking booze cubed instead.
So I'm a newbie to booze cube. So what's the point? Is it just to be the last person not to throw up?
You pretty much just, you're trying to win any other like multiplayer game of Magic, but the whole fucking, it's a cube worth of fucking cards that are all specifically designed.
Like I just picture you guys like doing an 8-man with a Texas Mickey and fucking casting cards that say like booze fireball and you take a shot of tequila and then spit it at a lighter and fucking, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. That might get, that could fucking be dangerous. There's nothing that causes you. I mean, there are cards that have you like fucking, like, it's like a prey upon type fucking mechanic, but like you arm wrestle. And then fucking the loser. there's shit like that. But for
you guys,
you're just,
you must let Tony use both arms when you guys do that, eh?
Yeah, no shit.
I just drive people. It's fine.
Yeah. No, it gets tricky because there's, I mean, it's like playing Magic, but there's a lot of, you know, there's like, you know, booze touch is a mechanic where creatures, you know, like if they deal damage then to a player, then they have to take a drink. other shit that triggers off of drinks, stuff like that. And it just depends. Like, you know, the mono black deck is the most unforgiving, powerful fucking deck there is. You know, you basically, if you draft mono black, you're probably going to pass out. It's just if, like, you get them to pass out or concede first. You know, or you could, there's ways you can just kind of play it safe, but it's a lot of fucking fun. And because I'm an alcoholic and I don't, like, actively go out and, like, play in tournaments or anything, that's most of the Magic that I play now is fucking Boost Cube.
Are there?
It has other elements.
Yeah.
Size. I mean, like, you know, when you play Boost Cube, and my experience with it is fairly limited, because I like remembering things.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of people that play it, you could draft decks that where you can drink a lot. You know, the Boost Cube version of Necropotence is very known for that. My favorite deck is the deck that forces other people to drink.
Yes.
I get the most enjoyment out of that because winning matches in Boost Cube. It's mildly overrated. I think you're in one of two camps. You're either the camp trying to get drunk, or you're in the camp enjoying watching other people bemoan drinking more than they want to.
Are there any Sharpies allowed in the room during Boost Cube? Because all I can picture with my degenerate friends is the first guy that passes out gets, like, a Sharpie tuxedo.
Oh, dude, we haven't done it yet, like, in any of my games, but, like, I have seen no problem with that. Like, we're not banning Sharpies from the room. You have to keep your shit together. But no, when I played the other weekend, it was fucking me and Daniel and fucking Gumby from the show. And we sat down and played, and fucking, Daniel got kind of mana fucked a couple times. Like, we played one game, and he already was screwed, and so it was me and David, and I realized that I could fight all night, and I was gonna never really come back, so I conceded so we could play a second game. Same thing happened to Daniel again, and then literally, David and I played for, like, another 2 fucking hours, and it got down to the fact that I drew first, so he had one card left, and I didn't. Like, we decked ourselves. It just fucking went forever. And I drank so much fucking beer and liquor to try to stave off all this bullshit. And I had a card that basically is just fucking, you cast it for one green and you, an extra cast that you can drink, you drink X, or extra casting costs is drink X, and then you gain X life. So I was like, well, shit, I'm looking at like 20 something damage on the board at this point. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to drink these 4 beers and I'm going to gain a whole fuck ton of life and stave off the attack and be able to stabilize again. And it was bad. It finally got down to the fact that I just, like, I had to try to stay alive as long as I could, and then fucking ended up losing to fucking decking myself anyway. And, but there are other nights where, you know, like I said, you draft the mono black deck and all of a sudden, like, and shit, when we did the Boost Cube in Vegas, we had, you know, pods, and it took me like an hour to win the first game, and then I went to go to fucking game two, and I was like, I cannot do it. I've already taken so many shots, and I'm gonna die if I try to win game two. And so I had to just drop at that point because I just drank too much to win the first game. So I like playing multiplayer games with it so that they do last longer, as much as I'm against multiplayer games normally. I don't like them. With Boost Cube, I like it because it kind of keeps things going for a while, and you don't die trying to kill your opponent. Like, you don't literally die of fucking alcohol poisoning trying to kill your opponent, because you can kind of, you know, gang up on motherfuckers.
It makes it a bit more social too, I guess, eh?
Oh, and, yeah. There's certain cards you kind of have to, like, we'll pull out if we're just playing one-on-one games, because there's, like, a Thumbmaster card that's basically the good old Thumbmaster rule, but it's like an enchantment that fucking, when you control it, then you're the fucking Thumbmaster. There's a President and Asshole fucking enchantments, you know. where the cards read that you basically have to fight, you know, you're the beer bitch and you have to go fucking get beers for people and yada. There's a lot of thought that was put into it. Scott, that designed the set, is fucking amazing. And now I'm trying to convince him to do Plane Chase cards that are specifically designed for it. Because recently I've been playing Booze Cube with Plane Chase cards because, you know, nothing takes a chaotic game like booze-fueled Magic and makes it even more chaotic than adding fucking Plane Chase cards, because then it just fucks everything. And it's a lot of fun that way.
Nice. Sounds like a good time. Sounds like I need to make it to next GP Vegas.
You absolutely do. Boost Cube aside, you absolutely do. But, like, for, you know, that's part of it. You need a Boost Cube. It's a lot of fun. So, did anybody play any actual Magic recently?
I went to the pre-release the week before. But did anyone actually go play Standard with the new Standard? Or you guys are in Canada, so Modern with the new Standard? What did the kids do?
I haven't played in real life. I played a couple of leagues on Modo for Modern and Legacy. But my friends and I have been doing lots of Modern brewing with the new cards. That's about it. And just watched the SDG event, and it looks like Standard, it evolved a little bit, I mean, which is cool. What's that 2-3 spirit?
Stone Sweller.
Oh God, that card looks insane.
As good as advertised, I feel like, for that card.
Oh wow. Between like that and Reflector Mage, like those two cards alone, even in Modern, just make blue white X just tempo insane. Just insane.
It reminds me of back in the day when sets would get printed and cards seemed to just go together so naturally that a lot of players would complain, like, oh, you guys, you know, rigged this, like, you wanted this to be a deck, and you're like, oh, there's no creativity for the players, and WotC, like, R&D will always deny that they ever try to, like, do that stuff. If anything, all they do is print stuff 18 months later to try to solve problems they accidentally made, and I feel like this is another one of those times where it's like, oh, just, like, the best value creatures in Standard right now happen to be 2/3s that are both, like, blue, white, and colorless. That's so strange. Like, wow, what a weird set of circumstances.
This would be the time to get Chris Capullo back too, if they brought back Meddling Mage. Oh my God, with Spell Quell or something, and then okay, they kill the Spell Queller, but you have Meddling Mage on that spell.
Ugh, so unnecessary. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine Meddling Mage is going to name Collected Company most days of the week right now.
Yeah, it's just interesting that it stays in exile, right? So stuff like that.
So I've seen a bunch of Standard play, and I think the blue-white spirits deck is like very, very good. I think that it's probably going to see it's definitely going to see local level play in Modern, 100%. I know people that are like very excited to be able to buy into Standard and come out of it in 6 months with a Modern deck.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's like pretty exciting for some newer players right now. And by newer players, like I actually know. Like, Matt, because you're around the store too, like, we know, like, a lot of non-zero players that started around cons. And that's, right. Like, yep. Not really that long ago. And those people don't...
But they
like,
got their fetches, right?
Exactly, right? So, now they have their fetches, and, like, maybe they need to pick up, like, a Geist of St. Traft and some Path to Exiles, but then they have, like, a very, very solid place to start in Modern, and get to play Standard and get, like, a handle on how these cards work in different scenarios, because Spell Queller... Maddie was actually posting some awesome synergy on Twitter right now. If you Spell Queller something and then Wasteland Strangler process it into their graveyard, you're just playing Esper. And like that even seemed pretty sweet. So there's like Matt said here, you know, you could Meddling Mage something that's there. It gives you like infinite insurance against something like Supreme Verdict. Like you actually will never lose to Supreme Verdict. And then on top of that, you have Selfless Spirit. So like your deck's basically...
I think that's one of the most underrated cards of the set too. That, like that card is going to fit into so many different Standard and Modern decks.
I want to play that in my Bant Flash deck because you just vial it in and you beat Supreme Verdict. And it's a 2-1 flyer with Gavinny Township and Exalted Triggers. This creature is legitimate. Aven Mind Sensor is a 2-1 flyer.
Yeah, I think that's what pushes over the edge for just things like Niazu decks, right? The 2-1, the flying is super relevant just to get in a couple extra points here and there when things are stalled out.
This card is going to go into the Elf's deck as a core target.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like you'll have Burn to Start Chancer against like Anger, but you'll also have this too to beat Wrath and Anger.
Yeah, because Dauntless Escort was just too kind of clunky. Like a 3/3 for 3 that was on the ground, it just didn't do enough, right?
Right, so this and three, not only 3 mana being, is way different than 2 mana.
Yeah, well, and the flying, I just feel like it pushes it right over the edge. Like 2-1 flyer for 2 with a super relevant ability.
Yep, totally agree. I think it's sweet. And once it's in play, it's a card that needs to be played around until it's no longer in play.
Exactly.
You even get to do some sweet stuff with it, like against Wormcoil Engines, you get to do the old block sack so they don't gain any life. Like there's like a bunch of little corner cases that make this card being able to sacrifice itself quite good.
Even in Standard too, like gets around, is it Kozilek's Return?
Yeah, the 5 damage. Yeah. You also get to trigger Avacyn whenever you want with it.
Oh yeah, true.
Right? There's a lot of really cool stuff you can do with cards that say sacrifice this creature without having any other cost to it. So we've seen the cards that say sacrifice a creature and sacrifice this creature, like the cornerstone of most of the good decks or some of the good decks, at least for a long time in Standard, right? Like, Nantuko Husk, as soon as we got that card, that made an archetype because you could sacrifice creatures, you know?
No, I think this card is very close to cards that have been, like, that. I don't think there's, as much as it seems like there'd be an easy direct correlation, I don't think there actually has been. It reminds me a lot of Dauntless Escort from Alara Reborn, or Benevolent Bodyguard from Judgment back in the day. You know, both cards that were protective in nature, but they didn't, you know, they weren't aggressive bodies like you guys are talking about. You didn't get the 2/1 flyer for 2. You didn't get the 2 power for 2 mana, built-in evasion, and also be able to save your team. You know, again, Dauntless Escort was 2 colors. Benevolent Bodyguard only protected 1 guy. Like, sure, in the White Weenie decks, it curved just as good. But I do think that this card is pretty much right where it wants and needs to be.
Yep, totally agree. I mean, if you have this in play in a Geist of St. Traft, it's going to be very, very difficult for anyone to really, like, interact or do anything profitable with your board state without you having the say. You even get to just win favorable combat or just win unfavorable combats, right?
Is there anything that's that you noticed, Tony, over the weekend that was selling unexpectedly out of the set?
So we had the card that we had on pre-order at our location was Spell Queller, and we had sold somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 copies on pre-order.
Damn.
So honestly, the cards that have sort of surprised me the most, and Kelly and I both sort of like shook our heads a little bit, was Ishkana the Spider. Currently, that's $14 Canadian.
Really? That card's insane. That's really good and standard. Really, really. Think of it. You get a 3/5 and 2/1/2s with reach for what, 5 mana, right?
Oh, yeah.
3/1/2s. You get 6 power and 11 toughness with reach across 4 bodies.
And
mana with only 1 green mana symbol in it.
And it can't be spell.
It's very good.
And
yeah, it costs 5.
You don't want to Reflector Mage that either, right? Like they still get the right? Spiders, and somehow makes more and then drains you for more, right? So
and those,
yeah, yeah,
those
it's
spiders
I think it's really good
well.
Against the company decks.
Yep, for
yeah,
sure.
So, what else surprised you for sales?
So Eldritch Evolution started out at something like $17 day one, non-foil. And currently,
yes.
I believe the foil is $17. The non-foil is about six or seven.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So, lots and lots of hype. Still
I think
potential.
Homie...
There's no jumping on it.
I think homies forgot about Remand. That's what happened. Because it was all the hype was in Modern, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I think that you're gonna find cards like this that are sort of like expected to be like breakout or need to sort of find their potential. Let's juxtapose Eldritch Evolution with Spell Queller. Like, we just know Spell Queller is good. People are going to be casting it. They're just gonna put it in their decks and they're just gonna see how good it is and how to use it. Whereas Eldritch Evolution is gonna need some testing and brewing, and there's gonna be like a large part of the community that need to have a whole bunch of bad tournaments for it, but then eventually maybe we see a deck come around that's like Grishelbrand that we didn't see for the first multiple years of Modern where every card existed, right? Maybe it just needs like a little bit of time, but I still think that if you can find this card for like $5, just buy it.
Yeah.
Just buy the copies you can find and then have it and use it and try some cool stuff. Maybe again, like we said, there's potential for this to be like some big combo card where you can get your Allosaurus Rider on turn 3 and then do something else that doesn't matter because who gives a shit? We already said that's not realistic. But
I don't think it's unrealistic. I think it can be done.
Right?
Magic players are just fickle though. Like you, and especially because cards can fluctuate so much in price. Spellcaller was the obvious beat you over the head card out of the set where it's like, well, duh, it's good. Like when I first saw it, I thought it cost 4 mana and I was like, oh, that's still a pretty good card. Like that'll probably see play. And then it was 3 mana and you're like, oh, well, this is just stupid. Like, I don't even know why this is a thing. Meanwhile, Eldritch Evolution, as much as it seemed like it was obvious on the surface, it's gonna take time to find the optimal build. You know, is it gonna have a toolbox like, the old Birthing Pod decks are gonna have? Is it gonna be more of a straight 4 ofs combo that you just need to do this seemingly one overpowering thing over and over again. And we also haven't had, you know, the big showcase event for it yet. I mean, the Pro Tour in Australia is standard as well, right?
Yep. No, well, I mean, all Pro Tours are
standard. All standard, right? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to inadvertently jab at the Canadian audience. Yes.
Thank you. No, so a card like Eldritch Evolution is gonna need to find its home, like we said. But I think where we should start looking, if any SUV members out there or Mildy or some people who have a bunch of cards on Moto want to try, I really think its home is meant for black green elves, where you can turn any one of your mana dorks into a shaman of the pack and just really like have more ways to get shaman of the packs out, because the deck functions very, very well in putting a bunch of guys into play, and then it needs the win conditions. So if you have Cord, Company, and this, you're gonna find your shaman of the packs, you're gonna kill people. That's where I would start.
I personally would just start in like a value shell where it's very obvious you have your voices and thinks and stuff like that, where if it does get countered or remanded, it doesn't hurt as much, and then maybe have one or two combo pieces to search out. Yeah. It's probably where I would start.
Like the Spike Feeder Archangel combo, or honestly, because you can get the casting cost up to casting cost plus two, you could go get a Viscera Seer and have like a Malira, like Finks combo in just your green white deck, right? Like splashing one of those is totally reasonable. Mm. So yeah, you could definitely play like a green white value shell and then just have that to go get your one or two combo pieces, whether it's Viscera Seer or Archangel of Thune.
Well, talk about that combo. What happened to Malira Company in Modern? It feels like it disappeared the last month or two.
Which is to me, because we just had another face-to-face open that was won by Felix C again, back-to-back with the same deck, Dredge. To me, it feels like either no one's hating the graveyard currently in Modern in Toronto, because Dredge just won two tournaments in a row, or Felix is something of touched by God, which is probably more correct. But I don't understand how the Malira decks are weaning off if the Dredge decks are stepping up. It doesn't make sense to me other than people aren't playing it. It's not getting hated out. It feels like people aren't playing it. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you think?
I don't know. It was something like the deck just felt so strong from, I mean, the last GP had big hype going into it and the SCGs before that. And I just felt like since the spoilers or a little before that, people just stopped playing it.
They forgot about Malira, right?
Motherfuckers act like they forgot about Malira.
Exactly. So the funny thing is that you would think Eldritch Evolution would be like, oh man, I want to play this card, because Collected Company is actually bullshit. Like, the card in itself functions very well, and like, yeah, you put a bunch of creatures into play, but you're playing a combo deck that you need three different pieces, and getting two randoms isn't the best way to do it. You want a selection. So I would be happy.
But you're not playing
more.
You're not playing Collected Company in that deck to combo. You're more of just going to outvalue them, right? And oh, oops, I hit the combo.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So having silver bullets to just make your combo a little stronger, because we know the deck grinds out well, right? Any deck with Kitchen Finks and Gavinny Township can grind it out with the best of them.
Yeah.
But just having maybe one or two more pieces to make that combo a little more consistent feels to me like Malira should be in a better spot than it is.
I agree. Cause it feels like if you cut the cords, since they're probably the clunkiest part of the deck, and you go more, add more spike feeders and like one or two angels, that might be more viable too.
Yeah, those are just, again, more grindy cards that can let you get to the setup of cast this one card, win the game.
Do you guys, Tristan or Kevin, do you play Legacy at all?
No, not really. I'd like to. I just don't get a chance to. I've got the cards for Legacy Burn, my Modern Burn deck, you know, ports real easy over to Legacy Burn. But I just don't really have the availability of people to play with. Normally when I'm playing, it's with my brother-in-law. And I mean, I guess it's, you know, like I've said before, our little format in the dungeon is kind of like Legacy, because for the most part, we're like, oh, eh, well, I mean, we're not going to get crazy with fucking, like,
you know, top tier legacy decks, but like, you know, we're playing modern decks, but I don't mind if you play fucking Jace the Mind Sculptor and I can play Chain Lightning. Fucking,
yeah, it's good.
But, yeah, for the most part, I don't get a chance to play Legacy, but I'd like to. I'd like to get in.
Was there any cards in Eldritch Moon that kind of made you excited to play in even an older deck?
I played Legacy.
Yeah, Tony, what do you think? Because there wasn't anything really for me that jumped out, but Tony's, you know, got his finger up the butthole of the community.
It's true.
So true.
My tasting finger, too.
Oh, no. That's my mixing finger.
Yeah, so, yeah, nice. So I actually played, like, I played the Legacy Showdown at FaZe on Sunday and worked because I'm a superstar. I dropped a 2-2 because I had work to do, but, I had some good times. So I tried Lupine Prototype in my Eldrazi deck. Cause I was like, I'm gonna cast all my creatures and then I'm gonna have 5/5. It's gonna be awesome. Guess what didn't happen?
That.
At all. Yeah, that was just a completely failed experiment.
I still think I could have some fun with that. I run out of gas all the fucking time in my burn deck, and I kind of feel like I want to just throw a fucking copy or two in there.
You know, that would be scary, man, playing against burn, and you're like, okay, I just got to kill their 2/2s and just gain some life. It's okay.
And I'll be okay.
Stabilize. And then you just go, all in. Oh, you stabilize at 4. I'm on top deck. Oh, here's a 5/5 and here's another 5/5.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's only got 2 left in his hand. He's a bird player. He's going to peter out. You're like lightning type. Go.
Seriously. So. It's
how expensive is that card? It's not very, is it?
It's like $2.
No. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to buy a couple.
Canadian dollars too. So like nothing.
Oh yeah. So like that's just pretend money anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, well, no, well, until the election, and then our dollar will shoot through the roof. Whole world disowned you guys?
I'm just gonna hoard my face-to-face credits.
Seriously, it'll be better than your
$80.
Yeah.
Sell all your Star City stocks and buy face-to-face stocks.
Yeah, there you go. Probably a smart way to do it. I'm gonna be bartering with people for food with my magic cards. Pretty good.
But other than that, I didn't really see anything like that jumped out on me. I mean, obviously there's that Eternal Scourge, the 3-colorless 3/3 that you can cast from exile. Mm-hmm. That just works with Food Chain, but I didn't see anyone playing it.
While we're on Eldritch Moon, can I bring up kind of like a finance thing that kind of popped up today? I don't know if you guys saw this, but apparently. The Eldritch Moon boxes are searchable.
I saw something about that, and I didn't get a chance to go through and actually, read about it. I saw it pop up a couple different times, and I was too busy to actually read it.
So, apparently...
I cannot believe anyone has a sample size large enough to really confirm this. That's my initial feeling. And I could be horribly wrong here, but when people try to say this stuff in the past, it ends up being usually a giant steaming pile of horseshit. However, this set is unique, and it has... very strange magic cards you don't normally see printed, probably had their own sheet, and might have fucked with correlation a little bit, but I don't know how that would have fucked with correlation in the way that you're probably gonna present this, but go ahead, go on. How are these searchable?
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, are you good for, do you know all the facts?
You go.
You go.
We had a bit of a debriefing
see,
on this.
Matt and I are kind of the same on this podcast. It's like, you guys speak amongst yourselves.
Well, no, I looked at it for like 5 minutes while I was at work, and I have no volume on my computer, so I'm watching videos with no sound and reading posts. Okay. So if you have all the info, you go for it.
You're better off, yeah.
Okay, so here's the argument, or I guess the proposed searchability, is that once you find in a box or a case, and the argument is that it works across a case from a box, like you can get the pack from the box and use it across a case. Once you find the first non-flip mythic, that's what it has to be, the non-flip mythic, then that's the pack that will have the rest, that art on it. There's only 3 arts. There's Liliana Werewolf and, what's the other one? I have some right in front of me. Liliana Werewolf and Sorin.
Okay.
No, that's Innistrad. There we are, Eldritch Moon. Liliana, Wolf or something, some shit, and Tamiya.
Yeah.
Tamiya, Liliana, and the Wolf. So, once you find the non-flip mythic in that pack, you separate the pack will be separated in 3, and you just only open that picture.
And so say you open it in the pack with the Liliana art, then all the mythics will only be in Liliana packs.
In the Liliana.
Non-flip mythics.
Yes, sir.
Non-flip mythics, yeah. Will be in all of them will be in the Liliana art, which means specifically no non-flip mythics will be in the other two packs.
Right.
So then I guess like videos that have anywhere from 3 to 6 mythics come out of a box, and it's like, you could go on YouTube and check out the videos that Matt was watching without sound, but that's it. So
like, as a fucking store or a dealer, you just fucking put those, like, the packs without mythics out on your shelves, or?
No.
Well, that's
no,
a little bit of the, that's a little bit of the kind of what's happening. People are like, well, they first found out they're going to stores and finding out which one, what art has it, and they're trying to just buy those. So now stores are like, okay, now we have to mix up the box and put it face down. Yeah, in the case. And you can't see the art on the front when even the employee is picking it to give to you.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's a pretty big fuck up.
Ah, man. You can't fuck up at all with the Magic community. Like, motherfuckers got way too much time on their hands and they will figure this shit out real quick.
Now, but Tony, right? You work in Canada's largest pack opening business. Like, you work in the Veronica Salt of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory's golden ticket ripping location. Nice. So the question is, like, you know, you're the most reputable source in Canada on this. Are these theories true? Have you guys tested it on enough product? Can you now reliably open up a box, find that first mythic, go like, all right, we're only opening Tamiyo packs out of this box, hit mythic, 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 and move on? Not saying you guys are doing it, but could you? No reputable business would even waste their time doing that if they could. So anyone who's really worried about this, I'll dispel this right now. Your Star City Games, your Face-to-Faces, your Channel Fireballs, they do not have the time to sit there and be like, all right, let's just open the mythic packs and we'll sell the rest of the packs in bulk. They can make money off of you sneezing, so it doesn't matter what they get. They're good.
Yeah, so, we wouldn't do that. That's the easiest, first and foremost. B, we didn't have this information personally when I was, me and our singles manager, and the rest of the department that were cracking packs for the boxes.
How about the couples
so,
manager? Was he in on it? Because couples, that's what it sounds like you're different. Saying. I'm sorry.
No. So there's three of us opening packs.
What store are you running?
There's three of us opening packs, and it didn't strike us as anything unusual. Now, to be fair, we weren't looking. From there, exactly like Tristan said, we don't have time to waste money and product to like try and figure this out if it's true. However, if it is true or the potential is there, then there's got to be some precautions taken when selling individual packs, and that it's just going to be really annoying and really frustrating.
Yeah,
I think that the concern more is maybe for people who only have smaller local shops. And sure. if there is one employee that's shady, he's gonna open up the case and find the first one, and he's just gonna take all the mythics, right? Like it's not saying anyone for sure would, but it's a possibility,
right? Oh yeah,
right?
Definitely. You know, and somebody would. Yeah, there are enough assholes out there. Somebody would.
The biggest problem about this is, regardless if it's true, it creates this fear and kind of frustration for people. That, again, in all likelihood, it can't be correlated across the entire set, or, you know, there are multiple print runs, so it would be difficult to corroborate this as 100% realistic, but it still creates that sense of fear. And in 90%+ of game stores, where you're going to have a booster box lying there on the counter, you're now going to have annoying-ass people coming in being like, oh, I can't buy out of that one because you took all the mythics out, or I want just the fucking Tamiyo packs because I opened this one card, like... Just annoying ass shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or just a pain in the ass.
Yep. And then this conversation repeatedly. So, and then the thing is, this will never go away. As long as these packs are for sale, this is something that people in our industry, the retail industry of selling sealed Magic product, need to know and understand forever.
Right.
Well, hopefully it's just the first print run, right? Hopefully they fix it after that.
Yeah, it's something that could be corrected if they're going to bother to correct it. It's like knowing that Dragon's Maze's packs will always have shit in them. and that there aren't actually and there aren't any dragons in the set. Like, you need to know that as a retail seller, you need to know that for the rest of time. And it's frustrating to have to know that all you have is shit in those packs forever.
Exactly.
So similarly,
and on the flip side of that, it's like selling people Journey into Nyx packs by telling them that one time at pre-release, I opened a booster pack with all 15 gods in it.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's one of those things that becomes...
I knew you were fucking shady.
Yeah, right?
It'll
sleeved already, too.
Yeah, they're already sleeved.
And they're all foil. They were all foil, obviously. And all Russian.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do to get rid of fucking shitty packs that are still sitting on the shelves.
So that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a great set of circumstances. Hooray for everyone involved.
Yeah.
All of us. Pretty much. Everybody in this community.
So there's something else that I've just noticed on Twitter that's actually pretty interesting about actual Magic cards.
Ooh.
So right? So the next promo is Rise from the Tides, and that's a 5-blue sorcery that reads, and I quote, create a tapped 2/2 black zombie creature for each instant and sorcery card in your graveyard.
Yeah, let's reword stuff. Awesome.
Discuss.
Awesome.
I wasn't listening.
So for the Kevies of the world, we've got some new verbiage on Lay Magic. Pretty much saying that, instead of, you know, put onto the battlefield or, well, I don't even know what they fucking used to say. But long story short, now we create tokens. And that's fine. You know, it's a keyword that's really non-intrusive, not an issue at all. I think with a big takeaway from it is that, this next fall block is gonna have a lot of token making, which we kind of assumed for Magic Origins. There will be Thopters abound, and now you will create tokens. Big fuck deal. That's
creating
how I would
tokens instead of them just coming.
Yeah, instead of place onto the battlefield zombies. I don't even know exactly how it's worded right now.
It'll just be create. Oh, that's.
You know what? I'm so old school. I get pissed off about stuff like this. Like I'm still really mad that they got rid of interrupts. All right.
Put them into play directly from hand.
Get off my lawn!
Then they started putting fucking tap symbols on shit. Like, god damn it.
I like my artifacts to be mono and poly.
No, the change of the wording is probably for better, for long term. Yeah, it just sucks for that, whatever, year or year and a half where you kind of have both wordings in standard for newer players, but eventually it'll clean up.
It'll flush itself out. As do most things, especially, I mean, like this one, obviously we're like, oh, big fucking deal. But I mean, there are things that come along that, you know, the community at large, or especially us wild speculating assholes on Heavy Meta, will freak the fuck out about and be like, why would they do this to us? And then, like, I don't know, a month later, we completely forget it happened. It's like when they fucking renamed the fucking wedges with the fucking, what was that, cons block or whatever? Like, fucking with Abzan and shit. I swore I won't fucking say those words. Fuck them. I'm not going to say Abzan and Jessak. Now I just do it like everybody else. It's just a normal fucking thing. But I was heated. I was like, those names are fucking stupid. I'm not doing it.
Anyway. I was right there with you. I still call it junk. Fucking Abzan.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing is, like, I got so used to everybody else saying, I was right there too. I was like, yeah, it's fucking junk. It's not fucking Abzan. But now I just say it because I'm so used to fucking hearing it. It's just, I've become like inundated with this cons block name nonsense. And now I'm like, okay, it's just a normal thing.
All right. Well, Tristan, I have a question for you.
Hit me.
This Rise from the Tides, how does this fit into Cube, your Cube philosophy?
You know, it's been a real close card. I really liked that card when it was made. I think that that archetype, the kind of the blue all spells archetype, is a thing. You know, a bigger question for yourself is it how viable is the all spells deck in Cube? You know, for myself. And this kind of goes way back in Cube philosophy. You know, the colors of white, red, and black are all 50% creatures, 50% spells. Green is 2/3 creatures, 1/3 spells, and blue being the inverse of that, 2/3 spells. So the color already kind of lends itself to that strategy. Just the, you know, play some shit, make some tutus. You know, personally, I think it kind of treads very closely to the Empty the Warrens strategies. You know, maybe it's a backup plan to that. You know, maybe it's an additional element or a different tool in your arsenal to have a deck that's all spells. Ultimately, for me, I didn't add it because blue is like the tightest color in the cube, because historically, blue is the best color in Magic. It all starts with two mana, stop whatever your opponent is trying to be doing. And no other color could come close to that, as much as, you know, if you look at the blues, or the color pie's philosophy now, you know, everyone has their strengths, everyone has their weaknesses. You know, blue didn't start with weaknesses. Blue could counter an enchantment, it could counter an artifact, it could counter whatever. Again, because it's the most powerful color and you want to be able to do so much, and because of my own cube, I support the Storm archetype already, it makes it more difficult. Like, if I didn't have Storm, I'd be much more about having this card in my cube, because I'd be like, oh, you know, big blue control, that was a thing, that was stuff that happened back in the day, and eventually you just play some random jerk-off sorcery and you win the game, hurrah, but I just don't have room for it.
So I saw the proxies that Proxy Guy made you for your cube.
Fucking pretty.
He's the best. Shout out to Proxy Guy.
He is an amazing guy.
It's that time of the cast again where we go open the gospel of heavy meta and we pronounce our love for Josh, who does the best work out there and makes it sad that Watsy doesn't print cards that look as good as the stuff that he can make at home.
Yeah, no shit.
So what I'm getting at is if this card happens to make it into your cube, you can get it printed in the old frame with the old text.
That's true, and I could even get it with a sweet new FNM artwork, which is actually pretty tight. It's so annoying when they make an
really
FNM
cool
card with better artwork, because you're like, oh. I mean, nowadays it's not as intrusive, but there was that time there where FNM cards looked fucking butt ugly, and it would be annoying if they had better art.
Yeah. I mean, Spatial Contortion art is, like, awesome. It's like the guy whose head's by his feet on the ground, but he's all twisted around. That's the promo art. If you haven't seen it, it's really cool.
Promo was that? Mythic spoilers let me down.
Speaking of promos, are those zombie tokens going to be worth anything?
I've seen them in showcases for $10 already.
Jesus.
But no one's buying them.
Is that
They're
from
just
the
like,
pre-release?
Hey, get some... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I have
part
like
of the
a
problem
dozen
that I'm starting to see. Like, with that collection I got a hold of, I was like, oh yeah, I got some really nice expensive cards here, but nobody seems to be buying cards for that price.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like, I've tried to sell them off or anything like that. Just like, looking at prices and stuff, like, one of the things, like the gin we were talking about, like Jason Alt made a comment. He's just like, yeah, I had a lot of trouble selling mine for a lot less than that, because although it might say that that they're this much, like I think that gin spiked from like 700 something to like 1,000. And, like on like the MTG stocks or something like that, like Maddie brought it to my attention. I was like, what the fuck? Holy shit. But then like Jason Alt chimed in and he's just like, yeah, I just had trouble selling mine for 300. Like, yeah, just because it says it's worth that much doesn't mean, and you know, it's a little bit different than a zombie token, but like you're talking about a $10 zombie token in a case, like you gotta be fucking hard up to buy a fucking zombie token for $10 when you just get like heavy meta tokens.
Right?
Right.
Is the art that good? I gotta look this up. Why is it $10?
Cause it's foil.
It's a foil zombie token.
You have two zombies to choose from, and it also
The Angel and Demon one was like $50 at one point from.
Yeah, but
back
not
in,
every single person got one. Only fucking like three people at 401 got one of those in all of Toronto.
Well, was that the
so I got all three.
Regular versions. Because if you recall, the regular versions I think went to everybody, but you had to
exactly
that the Hell Vault one.
It was the Hell Vault, like, exactly, super, and only one store in Toronto got the fucking Hell Vault.
Yeah.
And I got
more
three
sense
of the
tokens. Put so much. This is an item literally came with every single pre-release pack. Like I have three of them and I'm just like, oh, whatever. Like I don't have enough to like really put in my cube and I really don't want to like start trolling to pick them up because that's like a gigantic waste of my time. Uh-huh. So, but I also don't want to like actually just pay to get them. So it's like, oh, I'll probably just unload the ones I have. And then for the third event that I did, I got the Bruna promo and I never played it. So I kept it in a little package with the token. And I was like, okay, if there's anything that I've opened this weekend that has a shot of being worth anything, it's got to be that set of circumstances right there.
Like the Bruna promo with it?
With this foil flip token, like in the package still. Like, and it's not the Gisela. And if granted, if it had been the Gisela, I probably would have played it and opened it.
Right.
Because it was sitting on the other side. I was like, oh, hey, like, that card's probably worth $10 with the stamp on it at some point, and then what's the token worth kind of thing? Oh, right. Now the Jays are losing? God damn it. Sorry. Where were we?
Yeah, well, the token's going for like $5 or $4 on eBay, so yeah, right. that's about ten Canadian.
That's crazy.
Right, yeah, now, until Trump becomes president, we all flee to Canada.
Yep.
We don't want you. We don't want you. Stay away.
Yeah, stay out of here.
I'm not worried about me.
Yeah, that's gonna be the shitty part for me.
We're gonna revoke all dual citizenships.
don't do me dry
ew,
like that.
Yeah, ew, you got Trump aides on you. No, you can't come in.
Well, if that happens, that's where California just secedes from the union and takes all their shit and does their own thing.
Yeah. No, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just assume at one point they're going to announce that Barack is allowed to have a third term in the world.
Yeah, that would make a lot of people happy. Because watching the news yesterday where it's like, never has there been two major candidates that have both been so disliked universally in a country. It's like, we could just have a do-over, guys. Like, we don't have to live with this. This isn't Brexit. Like, we have time. We don't have to be married to this bullshit situation.
Yeah, no shit. Fine.
I mean, because we just need to laugh. Like, we're so democratic overall in terms of the country. We survive right. Schwarzenegger. Like we survive being governated. And we're fine still.
Yeah. We can handle it.
It's not like any more of the state is on fire or we have any more of a drought than we already have. Like, bring it. Whatever. At this point, fuck it. We can survive pretty much anything minus an earthquake. Like, whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah, the earthquake may split the state in two. But then we'll just have, you know, East and West California. We'll be fine.
Well, at least if Trump wins, it'll solve your unemployment issues with that wall. So, good for you guys.
Yeah, no shit. God.
Please build it. Build it on our border too, please.
Yeah, to keep us out.
Yeah. Also get the Mexican government to pay for that one as well.
Yeah, it's like a two-way mirror, though. It's we can go through it. We just can't come back.
Can I throw one more kind of spiky topic at you guys before?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So there's one more change to the Pro Tour. Coming up in a couple weeks. I guess this is it a week?
It's a week.
So it's just a little thing. I don't know if any of you guys have ever played in the Pro Tour, but now they've changed it. So
sorry. No, we haven't.
Okay. Now the competitors have to submit their deck the night before at 7 p.m.
Ooh. That's weird.
That, yeah. I guess that's better for coverage. It's not, I mean, it's, you know, I gotta be honest, a lot of the good stories about, you know, shotgunning cards the morning of, shotgunning deck lists or information that you learned the night before, there's not a whole lot of testing happens that late in the night before a Pro Tour. People are pretty, not married, but they're into their deck. Like, they know where they're going and what they're doing. So the upside of it for, you know, Magic the Spectator Sport or Magic the kind of produced product makes a lot of sense. I mean, there have been great stories. There have been great times. I've been there where things happen at the very last second. I mean, even the morning of. I mean, it's a lot less exciting now because it's not a public event. Or, sorry, there aren't the public events there used to be. So the people you could draw from aren't as large. The number of vendors at the floor in the morning of aren't as large. It's not the scramble that it used to be. You know, there aren't as many people around to try to get information from / hide information from. But at the same time, there are a lot of great, you know, opportunities and stories came out of that, but that doesn't really make it to the public, and that's not really something that the coverage team, the way it's positioned and what they showcase, really makes it to people. So to me, it makes more sense that it's changed for that, because now you got guys on the coverage side that can prepare the night before, know what to talk about. You're going to have a more polished product for the audience the next day, and it doesn't take too much skin off the players because they're all on the same level playing field they were before. It just means there's a little less, you know, espionage and, you know, attempted information stealing the night before.
The only scary part I can see is for people who aren't on the big teams and they're like, hey, we need to commit to this deck, but we're missing these four mythics. Cause I know whenever I was at the Pro Tour, lots of people were scrambling in the morning of to go to vendors and find cards. And if they're sold out, find a different card. And that's the scary part, right? If you're like, okay, what if we register this and we can't find a card in the morning?
Yeah, you can't find copies of those cards.
Yeah. So For the big teams, they're fine. They're going to be supplied with all the cards, but I could see, you know, Joe Blow, who wins his regional, PTQ and shows up, and they've been testing and they decide, yeah, we're going to play this deck. We got to email us in, but the vendors are already gone. Let's just hope in the morning the cards are there.
Yeah, because if not,
I think it's another reason you move to the all standard pro tours. It's another reason. I mean, if anything, you know, if they get data back and show that this is an issue, you move to a format that give them another week to get cards, because you know, the pro tour system as it is right now with standard pro tours being as close to release date is still rather new. I mean, what was it? Dark Ascension was that? Pro Tour Dark Ascension, I want to say, is like the first time they had it, like 2 weeks after. And that came with some mildly mixed results, I feel like. So, given an opportunity, seeing the feedback, I imagine this kind of change is something that's gonna stick, for sure. Yeah. And if they do get more feedback from players that aren't in one of the mega teams that are outfitted with 4x copies of all the sets when they get on the plane, then adjustments will be made. They're not looking to push the little guy out or anything like that, as I
see. Oh, no, no. No, it definitely makes sense for coverage, for sure. I can see definitely the commentator sitting down with all the big teams' deck lists and actually understanding how they work the night before. So when they do start covering the match, they can kind of give insight.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait.
Hold on. So you're trying to tell me that at one of these pro tours coming up, Randy Buehler's going to know what the fuck he's talking about?
No, we're not saying that.
No.
Okay, thank God, because he's my favorite. I love when he just rambles on.
At least he rambles on with, like, interesting history stats. It's better than when other commentators ramble on and don't know shit. Not to name names or point fingers or anything. I'm not trying to do that on purpose.
Yeah, I'm not that guy.
I mean, Maddie's a big
Randy's one of the best. I like him a lot.
I'm
a big fan of Seti P and P. Sully and those guys are on their game.
The All-Stars.
Yeah, they're amazing.
P. Sully playing the grumpy old man. Oh man. Oh, I love
so
him
good,
so much.
Right?
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I digress a little bit with my ripping on the Pro Tour coverage, but hopefully with this change being like affecting every single player playing in the Pro Tour, it makes coverage actually that much better. And hopefully this is the start of them putting more into coverage. Like Wizards puts a reasonable amount into their PT coverage, but it would be nice to see that spill over to some GPs. I mean, like, we didn't even get video coverage of GP Columbus. And like that was Legacy, which was frustrating. One of the people from our store, Aaron Kasperzak, top 8'd it. And to me, that would have been a slam dunk for coverage. And Wizards disagree.
I'm surprised. Hopefully I can get Matt to back me up here. But, you know, old man get off my lawn says, hey, back in my day, we didn't have no video coverage. You read the text and you fucking liked it.
And that's how you dealt
with it. No, you didn't.
You read the text
and you didn't like it.
That's like saying, I don't want this color TV. Let's go back to black and white.
Yeah, he's all, there's some things, though, that I do like technology.
Yeah. No, but yeah, like we feel so spoiled because these days, like, there was a point there maybe a year ago where there'd be two or three big events going on at once. Like, there could be two GPs and then an SCG event, and it just feels like everything got taken away. Like, there's so many weekends where we don't have coverage, or there's maybe two Legacy GP weekends a year, and I felt like missing that was just so big.
And them covering the one that wasn't North American. And more importantly, them specifically not covering the North American GP, because I can understand them wanting to cover the European GP, but then you could also cover the North American GP.
Which they've done many times, so yeah, it was pretty shocking. And it's hard to go back to re-text coverage when you're so used to, like, just going back and watching the archives on Twitch. I mean, like, I don't feel like fucking reading.
I'll read the archives to get the information, but I'm not doing it as like an enjoyment thing. Like, you're not getting a ton of rereads and reviews the way you are getting people going back and like studying their own matches and watching things over and over again. Like, the week, like when there's no new coverage on, like, you get so much value out of having the video coverage that you just can't get with text, even if the text is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. video coverage. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard not to rant about that.
I know. So, yeah, anyways.
Oh. Yeah. Huh?
Bob, you hear me?
Hello, Bob.
How's the weather out there, Bob?
Gotta love it. We gotta get Bruce back on this show one of these days just for funsies.
Oh man, when I met him in Toronto, at the GP, he didn't recognize me, but I recognized him, so I trolled the shit out of him for a little bit. It was pretty fun.
So how could you not recognize you?
Right? That seems to be the misplay.
Yeah,
that seems to be the misplay.
He fucked up.
Well, you're not wrong, so.
So wow. All right, well, anything else interesting happening in the world of magic?
I feel like something came up recently. I don't know. I played the pre-release but didn't play the release, and then got it in and out of touch with shit because of the way I am right now.
I built a bad deck for a friend of mine that, like, actually a drummer in the fucking Le Barstool Saints.
Did you guys talk about the promos last? Sorry, no, don't derail you. Go on, tell me more.
Fucker!
I know, right?
Yeah, how dare you come on Heavy Meta and try to interrupt somebody?
I know, I pulled a Kevy without even knowing it. That was so right? Sweet. You yeah, like were allowed to start
that was pretty
rad. Story.
Yeah, a little taste of my own medicine, and I very much.
Oh, I got nothing. What were you talking about?
Yeah, I got. Yeah, I guess that's better. Like, to, you know, I got nothing than going into some long rant and then forgetting what you're actually talking about. Just talking in there. Done plenty of that too. No, I the only magic related thing I've done recently is built a bad deck for, well, not a bad deck, but just not a fucking, like a good deck for, our drummer. Just recently started playing magic. He told me, he's just like, yeah, I was kind of checking that game out. He's like, some of the guys I work with, you got a new job on bass. He's like, some of the guys that I work with play magic. And so I started playing. I was like, all right, right on. Fucking like download duel, like best thing you can do is download Duels of the Planeswalkers and fucking get the gameplay mechanics down. And then, you know, we'll go from there. Like we'll play some magic or something. And then he hits me up. He's like, oh dude, can you build me a deck? And in the process, I'm mad because I realized that at some point, I used to have this like mono white humans, you know, like old champion of the parish and a bunch of other fucking humans deck that I used to play. Back when that was a good thing. And it was around here forever. And then I was like, oh, that's a good deck for him to start out with. It's, you know, it's got some oomph to it. It's a nice little deck and it's just him and his, you know, coworkers playing casually. So I dug through every single magic card that I own and I cannot find that deck anywhere. Like everything involving the deck. So likely what happened, I got drunk and gave it to somebody, which I have done a few times in the past. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened, because, like, not a fucking single card from that deck is anywhere in all of my magic cards. So, I had to come up with something else. So I rebuilt, and I was actually kind of bummed, because I gave it to him last night, and now I want it back. I rebuilt an old little fucking, like, red-green aggro deck. You know the whole, like, Burning Tree Emissary, and fucking Flint Hoof Boar, and I need to order Wild Nacatles when I take it back from him, because I didn't have any. Well, I got one, but I'm not giving him that one. But like, you know, just like a red, like Curd Ape fucking, what is it? Curd Ape. I think the creatures are that, Burning
Tree. I feel like you're talking dirty to me. Say more about red green
yeah,
aggro.
Yeah. Oh, it's so aggro.
Goblin guide.
That's the thing is like, if I were keeping it for myself, like I'd have a blast with it, but I'm not going to give him my fucking goblin guides. I need those. And I'm not going to give him fucking, you know, the one wild Nacatl I have and get more because I need those. But, you know, it's like Rancor and Madcap skills and shit like that. And then like two copies of Bobo Rigmos on the fucking top. Just to be an asshole.
But my curve goes 1, 2 to 7.
1, 2 and that's it. Exactly. I love it. And I was like, that's just in case, you know, you're playing the long game. And But no, I had a blast though. It was like, it reminded me, like, the whole point of it, the story is, like, it just reminded me of shit like that. I haven't had that feeling in a while where I was just like, you know, I'm building a deck for a guy that's getting into playing Magic, and he's all, build me something fucking badass, because he bought a couple of intro decks and whatnot. He's like, build me something cool that's gonna, you know, actually fucking kick some ass. I was like, alright, well, I mean, I'm not gonna just give you a bunch of good fucking cards that I have, because I need those. But, like, I could build you something fun, and like, I just got, like, I just was completely taken over by this, like, sense of, like, I just started playing Magic again. And I was just like, oh, this is so much, digging through like every card I own, looking for like the best possible things that I had in house to put into this deck. And I spent like fucking 2-3 hours the other day just going ape shit building this fucking shitty red green aggro deck that I was proud of. And now like I said, I got to take back. He's going to be bummed. So be like, I want to play this now. Give it back. But that's the only Magic play thing I've done. But I did my good deed. I gave a new player a decent deck, you know, with some decent cards in it. Now I have to buy, like, Burning Tree Emissaries again. And I have to buy fucking, there was something else in there that I wanted. Gave him, you know, I parted with 4 Lightning Bolts, which is, you know, not like me. But, you know, whatever. Anyways, sorry.
How are you not sitting on a mountain of Lightning Bolts?
I do, but, like, I don't like giving them away.
Oh, what's your prize set of bolts?
I've got my prize set of bolts I sold off not too long ago because as much as I loved them, they just were too much bolt for me to have, and not be actually out playing. I got rid of 4 beta Christopher Rush signed bolts. But I just got a collection recently, and I got an Alpha Bolt and 4 Beta Bolts in that collection, so I have my Beta Bolts back. They just aren't signed by the man. So I've got my Beta Bolts and my Burn Deck, and then I've got, like, I don't know, revised. I think there's, like, fucking, what is it, like 6 or 7 fucking revised ones, and then
fucking... I rock my revised bolts because that's when I started playing, so they mean a lot to me. So I don't care what people say about white border; those are my jam.
Hey, I like white border cards. I like to do it just to make people mad. I got white border blood moons. Like, it just fucking irks the shit out of people. Like, it's fun. I like white bordered shit. I think I might, just to be like a dick, I should probably just have like my entire burn deck altered. Like, I'll get the ones that are in white border, like, you know, Lightning Bolt.
And then erase the black border, yeah, just on have, all the other cards?
Have somebody go through and paint a white border on the rest of my fucking cards just to be an asshole. Cause it just bothers some people. Something fierce. I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, I think you can just erase the black border, and then you know what else you have to do? You have to, like, box your deck so you're always turning cards around and dropping them and just looking like the biggest noob. Oh, wait, I kill you on turn 3.
Yeah. Oh, oops.
I think, oh, yeah, Lava Spike only to players. Oh, sorry, I can't kill that. 3 to you, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, man, you got 3 lives left? I guess I could. Yeah. I mean, I'll just do that instead.
Oh, you're at 3? I'll Lava Spike your Delver. Oh, I can't? Yeah. Oh, I guess I'll kill you.
Oh, I won?
Okay, so...
That's
here's the
how I win matches of Magic, though. Like, you're making me sound like that's how I win Magic.
here's the maximum amount of troll you can do. Get your whole deck 4 in black border, then white border it out, then ask your opponents what your cards do.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
What's this do? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Okay, what's this one do? Yeah, I'll do that. You're dead.
You're a terrible person. And then you're going to have a guy that's just like, oh, maybe he is just a fucking asshole rich noob, and he'll tell me the wrong thing, and I'll be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, that doesn't make sense.
This one, it only targets a creature, you know. I'm like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to hit you with it because the lightning bolt showed up. Yeah, you're an awful, evil fucking troll. Like, that's way worse than I could have thought.
Yeah, that's awesome. White border, your 4 and black borders?
Yes, I want to do that, and like, we were talking about this on Twitter like a couple weeks ago. I want to build a fucking vampire tribal deck and then have all of the vampires taken out of the art because you can't see them in photographs.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Just have a bunch of landscapes. on. Yeah.
Could you hear us, Proxy Guy? The next time you're bored, you have a project.
Yes,
you have. That, oh man, that would be so sweet.
Start deleting all the vampires, all the good vampires. Like, blood gas, what the fuck is that gonna be? It's just gonna be some rocks.
Yeah, like Olivia's just a stairwell.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Oh, that's actually quite amazing.
That's something that I think I need to, like, actually, I gotta find a fucking decent idea of a fucking vampire. It's not gonna be tier one or anything. But like a vampire tribal deck. The best version of one that I could fucking come up with and then just start, cause it's not gonna be expensive. Like, I mean, most vampires aren't that pricey cause vampires aren't that good. You know, a few cards aside. And blood gas is probably like, what, $15, something like that? Cause that's a good fucking card.
It's like 30.
Oh, wow.
But blood gas is $30?
Dredge, dude.
Oh yeah.
Fucking hate magic.
I know, right?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I guess, no, wait. I must not have heard that right. Bloodgast is a $30 magic card? That's not right.
$30.
Let me just double check. It's not $15.
I mean, it's definitely not. I mean, maybe it's 15 US.
It's 25 Canadian.
Ah.
50 for the foil.
10 US.
Yeah, 10 US.
Okay. So yeah, it's not as bad. That went for me having to spend $120 on a place at a fucking Bloodgast to have them taken out of the fucking art. To me having to spend $40 on a place of blood gas to have them taken out of the art.
Okay, on Star City, they're $22.
American monies.
Yeah.
Damn it. Maybe I gotta do a fucking, like, a pauper vampire deck, cause like, this is gonna be one of those things where I probably don't wanna spend a whole lot of money on a fucking bad deck for a fucking cute idea.
No, Dredge is a legitimate deck.
No, I'm talking about, I want to buy pricey fucking vampires so that I can put them in a shitty tribal vampire deck and, like, just have it be a cute idea. Like, I'm like a guy that always shows up with my vampire deck that's, like, a really cute idea but always loses because the deck's not any good. That doesn't really work out well for me. I'm not doing that. But, yeah, I do need to get on that. I need to get fucking a cheap vampire deck together and just, like, and fuck it. If not, I'll just, you know, well, like we were talking about earlier with the whiteboard. I'll just take an eraser to him. There'll just be a big white blossom.
and
or please, no, please use white out. Use the old school, like, where you dip it in the bottle and you brush.
So you can
and
see
it's just, yeah.
I know, I think you can do better than that. I think what you should do is bring an eraser with you and be doing it to your cards during the game.
When you play it, each time you play an entire
game. Yeah, like put it down and then it's like as they're playing, like completely ignore them and just like go to town on your like land.
Like that crazy little kid with a tongue sticking out of the side of his mouth, all just fucking erasing like crazy.
Yeah.
Sniff the eraser every once in a while.
Yeah, eat all the shavings.
Yeah, eat all the shavings and then just stare at my opponent and say, go. And
right?
If they don't just get up and leave, and then I'm like, oh, I gotta buy this round. Woo!
Well, we're going all crazy kids. You might as well just draw penises on all of them then.
Oh, I've got a few cards.
Replace all the vampires with dicks.
I've got an ensnaring bridge with a giant cock drawn on it because fucking.
Seriously? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, cause well, we were at fucking in Portland and, one of our friends gave me, and I was quite drunk, so I don't remember who it was. I could dig it up and find the signature, but they gave me an ensnaring bridge. You know, they're just like, here, I want you to have it. And I was like, oh, man, I can't. Like, that, you know, it's kind of an expensive card. I can't. He's like, nah, dude, I want you to have it. And I was like, all right, well, tell you what, you got to sign it for me, though. And he signed it, and he drew a big dick right across the middle of it. Like, right on, it's still legal. I mean... probably not, because it's got a dick on it, so I'm sure a judge would have a problem with that. But I mean, as far as that goes, it's still, like, technically legal, because it's a real card. It's just got marks.
I bought a Thundermaw Hellkite for $1, because it had a drawing of a penis on it.
See, that's awesome! I feel like we should probably, like, if I ever quit Magic, I should probably just draw dicks on all my expensive cards. Somebody out there could get a sweet deal on them. God. Just a setup. Not that I have.
God, you're such a dick! Yeah. Fuck!
Just a setup. Fucking, just set of power with fucking just balls drawn on them instead of the fucking.
They better be hairy balls, that's all I know.
Well, yeah, and they'll be colored and whatnot. I'll draw red
gray hairs on there.
I'll draw a red set of balls on a sapphire, and I'll draw a blue set of balls on a ruby.
Oh, the blue ball, that one's going to be the most expensive, the blue balls.
Just imagine, okay, so just imagine that, like, the shape of the gem on power being altered to look like a set, like a scrotum.
Oh, God.
Just like the regular color, and it still looks like a gem. It's just in the shape of balls.
It's still got the border around it. It's still
Exactly. It looks nice. It's just they're all the shape like balls. Yeah. Okay, proxy guy there. That's that's the real gem.
The ball.
Show us the family jewels.
And then the lotus just has to be a big veiny dick.
Anal beads.
Oh, there you go.
Oh man.
Tristan, are you not having a blast right now?
It's good timing that I'm leaving soon, because the show is getting the direction that it usually heads. It's weird. I feel like we're about an hour ahead of schedule for this territory. Uh-huh. In the greater Heavy Meta family, and usually it's about 2+ hours that things start to go to scrotum-shaped Mox Rubies. But we're ahead of schedule. That's fine. You know, we're being efficient with our time. I guess before I part, I'll try to I will put things back on the rails very briefly.
Yeah, so we can then fuck it up.
Right. As you guys may or probably didn't mention last week, I was out camping in the great California Redwoods in Big Sur last week. That is why I was not on the show. And, I had an opportunity to try to, you know, recapture some of my youth. I used to camp in the summers when I was a kid. I summer camps, were actually where I learned to play Magic for the very first time.
Hey, that's for white privilege speaking. You realize that, right? You got to go camping and play Magic and shit. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Chris. Tristan.
No, it's okay. Our neighbors had a boat. We went to the lake a lot. That was, a lot of our camping trips, but,
at the yacht club.
Yeah, the yacht club.
It wasn't that nice, guys. Come on now.
Yeah. No, we're talking lakes. We're not talking oceans here.
So I hadn't
lakes where poor people sail.
Yeah, I haven't gone camping since showering every day was really a mandatory adult thing to do. I also need to shave my face every day so I'm not become part of the witness protection program. And I also have contacts. So all that stuff was a very interesting awakening as a would-be adult. But I also thought, you know, hey, I've got nieces and nephews in the age range. Let's see if we can kind of recapture the magic, as it were. I learned to play Magic when I was 9 years old on a camping trip. Unfortunately, the older kids weren't super jazzed about the idea. It didn't really catch the way I wanted it to. Like, the 11-year-old wasn't super stoked on the idea. So, it was a bit of a bust, but they got some comic books for me too, and that I'm starting to corrupt them that way at least.
Right on. At least you got that.
Not super into Magic. They'll at least get into X-Men.
It reminds me, I just watched fucking the Back to the Future trilogy over the fucking weekend because I do dumb shit like that now. But it reminds me of that fucking scene, and what is it, 2, where, Marty's in the fucking, like, in the Cafe 80s and the whole Wild Gunman thing, and the kid's just like, oh, you have to use your hands? That game's for babies. Yeah, that reminds me exactly of what you're talking about. Kids these days, they just don't get Magic. They're like, oh, like, I can't just play it on my phone.
Right. Well, it's like you couldn't catch Pokemon in the goddamn forest anyway. You had to do something. Like, we didn't have phone service.
I promise you, once you get back into phone service, you can play this game on your phone. It's just a watered down version of it.
No, that was definitely what they said. It's like, oh, I think my parents have that game on their phone. I don't think they like it very much, though.
Oh, God.
So the funny thing is, I wonder if it would have been much different if you had brought Pokemon cards.
I'll never know because I've never.
Never do that.
No,
Pokemon's a pretty fucking awesome game, dude.
I never played, and and as Tony knows, you don't just have Pokemon cards because the bulk for that game is worth some skrill. That stuff's worth something.
You just have some extra ones lying around.
So they have Matt. You play Pokemon, right?
I do. With my nephew got into it, and so my brother and I just started playing. So he had someone to play with, and he's convinced he's 10. He's convinced that one day he's going to be the world Pokemon champion.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just kind of I'm just teaching them how to kind of play in a tournament atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I'm that dick uncle that yells at them for everything.
Yeah, you yell at them, throw wrenches at them and shit. You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Yeah.
I get to do this combo with that card and this card. I'm like, stop having fun, we're playing.
You're trying to win.
Yeah.
Land for turn, go. You just fucking straight-faced asshole, Ariel, fucking competitive Ariel.
The game is pretty silly. There's lots of draw sevens and tutoring and stuff. So it can be kind of degenerate. But yeah, I can see why kids love it.
Maybe one of those days I have to play. My wife's a big fucking Pokemon fan. And maybe I'll have to, maybe I'll have to just go buy some Pokemon cards and fucking play with her.
Yeah, man, just go head down to your LGS and get like two of the pre-constructed decks. And...
they don't fucking have it, but I'm sure Walmart does.
Walmart has everything, man.
Yeah.
Get your decks from face2facegames.com.
There is that. Except for I live in America, so if I don't buy singles, like, it costs $8 billion Canadian to fucking...
I'm sure face2face will cover the shipping for you.
They better.
As I put them on the spot right now.
Oh, jeez.
you can hear us, Sal. You're going to cover shipping, right?
Yeah. Sal's all, fuck you.
Listen,
at one point, I was gonna buy a fucking, it was like one of when the fucking Magic Funko dolls came out. I was like, oh, you know what? I got some store credit. I gotta buy a couple of those. And then it was like $56 to ship them to the fucking US. I was like, what the fuck? I can only buy singles from face to face because I live in America.
I'll smuggle them down. I'll hoop them for you across the border.
There we go. That's what needs to happen. I'm gonna buy shit from face to face, and I'm gonna make Tony drive to fucking Buffalo, and then ship them out from the Buffalo Post.
We just need to find a way to get Tony to Southern California. I think we've got it's the land of the Geodudes, my friend. You could find plenty here.
I've got my first Geodude. I was late for this cast because I was getting a Geodude. But I wasn't as late as Kevy, so you guys didn't even know.
Dude, I got Geodudes coming out of my ass here.
Man, I got drowsies. You want some drowsies?
Never fucking seen one here.
You've never seen a drowsy? Oh my god.
How regional they are.
I might start playing Pokemon Go, because there's a rumor that The Rock is a Pokemon.
Ooh.
What?
Fucking Dwayne Johnson is a Pokemon. You gotta
get it. Yeah. You don't get to call him Dwayne. He's The Rock. listen. There's two guys that I would sleep with, and I would let them do anything they want to me. I have man crushes. It's The Rock and Justin Timberlake.
I totally get you on both of those. I can 100% concur on both of those. Fucking. Justin is a bad motherfucker, an amazing musician, actress, actor, amazing actor, and singer. Fucking love that dude. And, The Rock, man, that guy fucking cracks me up. He's like, his fucking comedy roles are like some of the best ever. So I totally fucking get you on that.
Yeah. So cause his release of his YouTube channel was like, it's a video of him, as a Pokemon in the game. And then they do like a whole cartoon of as Pokerock.
Oh no. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have to look.
That's pretty amazing.
So that'd be a cool Easter egg in the game if they eventually added him in.
Just had The Rock in there.
I mean, Lord knows they can afford him now. They've got the money.
Yeah.
No shit. All right, well, I have Pokemon to catch.
Yeah, I gotta keep going. It was nice to finally talk to you, Matt. You're welcome back on the show, obviously, anytime. You really drove our entire conversation here this evening.
Yes!
Without you,
wonderful.
Without you, we probably would have talked about Pokemon for an extra hour.
It's true.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me. Next time there has to be more drinks, more shots. We have to come up with some kind of trigger word.
Yeah, the heavy meta drinking game is every time Kevy says fuck, you have to drink.
Oh, no one told me that.
Yeah, next
time.
We've
lost many a faithful over the years from this rule.
Yes, we have. Kevy said, go fuck yourself, San Diego! Cast, but like, you know, it was, you know, informative and whatnot. I had fun.
Didn't talk about Pokemon for an hour.
No, we didn't.
I clearly thought we were going to when you first said you caught over 200 today.
Yeah, I was like, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
Because obviously that story unto itself seems like it'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it could be a whole different fucking story.
Yeah, that's my other podcast. The one that I make for myself that only I listen to.
Oh no, is that going to be a thing now? Is there going to be Pokemon Go podcast?
I could already see it now. It could be Kevy headlining Pokemon Go Fuck Yourself, the podcast.
Come on, B!
Nice. Oh,
I love it.
Come on, B! Come on, come on, come on, B!
Come on, V.
Bruce for me. Trouble ain't no place to be.
Come on, V.
Do your thing. Oh, now.
You're on the whitey's game.
Come on, legs. Come on, run.
He'll do what he say you done.
Come on, knees.
Don't be mean. Come on, knees.
Cause that ain't the first red you ever seen.
Come on, V. Do your thing.
Come on, baby.
Don't cop out on me.
Come on, baby.
Don't give in on me.
Come on, leg.
Come on, cruise for me.
Cruise for me.
Come on, run.
Who put the bad mouth on me?
Anyway, the way I pick them up and put them down. Even if I got my name on it, won't catch me down.
Won't catch me now.
Never put us in some cold ass ground. Sure it's dark. Never been out this way. Anyway, I'm safe and sound, but we broke the Olympic 220. Cross country or something.
You're lonely.
Whatever happened to the sun? Sure gone away. Sure blacker than a landlord's soul. Must have run all day.
Yeah. Must have run all day.
Must have run all day.
You have a bitch. Must have run all day.
Come on, Fee.
Cruise for me.
Come on, Fee.
Come on, run.
Cruise for me.
Come on, Fee.
Come on, Fee.
Come on, feet. Come on, run. Come on, run. Came in. It's at your local stores, Quasimodo's and Breeze.